Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And that was 10 good IndyCar seconds. Welcome. Great to have you with us. You didn't like the intro?
No.
Figure we'd get the 10 good IndyCar seconds out of the way before the show started.
I didn't have any IndyCar today.
And that matches everybody else 363 out of 365 days.
Well, at least there's 2 days that people care.
We know what Indy, the 500's won. We're okay.
Bubble day. Bubble day's the other.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Explain to me one thing. Why was there almost an hour to an hour and a half of programming set aside to watch Jameis Winston throw footballs?
On what?
On one of the ESPNs.
Because they have eight ESPNs. I mean, would they put it on the Ocho?
It would have fit on the Ocho. I don't know if it was on ESPN or ESPN2, quite honestly. But I just saw it when I was on the treadmill, and I'm like, this is not making the treadmill any more exciting.
First of all, let's start with this. I'm thrilled you're on the treadmill.
Thank you. I'm glad.
But when it comes to Winston working out and it being on television, I have no complaint about that at all. Zero. We have 5,000 channels, for goodness sakes. Everywhere you look, we have channels. I mean, my channel system goes up to, it's in the 900, almost the 1,000 level right now. Literally. So if one channel wants to go down and spend money and dedicate it to Jameis Winston throwing footballs at his workout, I don't care. Why do you care?
It was just dull. I mean,
some people find the Price is Right dull.
Actually, right, I mean, watching him make a putt would be what it was better on hole in one or two. Watching Drew Carey make a putt on hole in one or two would be better.
I wouldn't know. I don't know what's on the show. I'm just saying that. I mean, you have all these options on TV. And it's all about whether they can draw some eyeballs to it. You know, that's been, you know, how many times have we talked about wrestling on television? All right, I'm talking about college wrestling, not pro wrestling. College wrestling on television. And how many people call our show and tell us that they think that there should be more college wrestling on TV?
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Right? Right? And it has the mass appeal of... It doesn't have mass appeal. But it should be on TV somewhere. We've got enough channels and outlets to do it. It doesn't matter if it has mass appeal. With all the channels that we have, you would think there would be an outlet to have college wrestling on, correct?
Yeah.
And... I'm going to be interested to see, for example, what the Winston tryout number looks like. Well, how many people watched?
Like I said, maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only one. But you always talk about how at practice.
Everybody has different interests.
I mean, you always kind of bust on me because I'm watching Formula One or IndyCar practice sessions or qualifying sessions. To me, this wasn't even... This wasn't a practice session or even a qualifying session. This was an audition for a bunch of NFL teams that may or may not draft him. I guess there is a market for it. I just didn't see it.
Look, you like to watch for IndyCar practice. All right. Okay.
Sometimes, yeah.
Which is, that's your viewing choice.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from.
All right. It's not a mass appeal choice, but it's your viewing choice. Watching Jameis Winston throw footballs is not a mass appeal choice, but it may be a viewing choice. I mentioned wrestling. I mean, wrestling had what? They 694,000 viewers, okay? We're like, hey, look, we're up 10% from last year. You know, and I understand, you know, you can write a press release and tout whatever. But PTI gets 975,000 viewers at Tuesday at 5:30 on an average. Okay? So, I mean, it's all relative. I mean, it's not... It just depends on what you want to watch. I'm not going to sit there and put down... If they put every Penn State wrestling match on TV, I wouldn't care. It'd be fine. It'd be great. Wouldn't think twice about it. We have outlets all over the place now. It used to be when you'd watch a golf tournament, you would watch Saturday, Sunday. Oh, and by the way, they pick up the coverage at 15. Now, they'll show you the Pro-Am. They'll show you, you know, all 18 holes of Thursday and Friday. I mean, they'll show you press conferences live from the NCAA basketball tournament. Do I have to watch it? No. Might I watch a little bit? Yeah, I watched a little bit of the Notre Dame and Kentucky press conferences the other day. I thought, man, you know, I found that particular moment to be interesting. And did they then put on the Louisville press conference with Rick Pitino? Well, I think he's smart and intelligent, the whole thing. I felt like watching Quantum of Solace instead. What the, you know, it's, everybody has their own whatever at the moment. So they put his practice session on TV. You don't have to watch it. But they're thinking that somebody is going to watch it. I'm not going to watch qualifying. I'm not going to watch practice for Indy, watching one car go around the track, just trying to get a feel for the track. I'm not going to watch it, but you will.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Look, we're a diverse sports society, just like we're a diverse society. We're not homogenized. We don't sit there and all have the exact same interests. That's why you're a Steelers fan. Rodgers a Redskins fan. Okay? You know, somebody, you know, Allie, for example, is an Eagles fan. All right? You all love football, but you don't like the same team, do you? You know, Sarah's a Ravens fan. That's four different people that work in one building that all love football, but not one of them roots for the same team.
I'm just glad they had the bottom line moving so I could see that the Eagles agreed to terms on a one-year deal with Miles Austin. That's another Eagle player who's injured that's gotten another contract, or that gets injured a lot. Let's put it that way. I was glad to see that at least they had the bottom line running.
Good. I'm glad. Well, coming up on Friday, I'm going to be there with you. And not only that, but I think we have a pretty nice way to preview the Final Four. Coming up on Friday's show from Indianapolis, we will have Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin basketball. And from Indianapolis, we will have Will Thiemann, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball, to preview each game. Not bad. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Indiana Religious Freedom Walk comes up at a very interesting time with the Final Four there. It's interesting, and you listen to Governor Mike Pence, they're going to have to make several amendments to this as to what they're doing with it. Because whatever their intent was has been totally been taken over and has turned into a lesbian gay rights issue. And they're not going to win that. And that's where the protest stands. And they're protesting hard about this. Now, if you read into the law as to what the intent is, like, you know, you can sit there and say, okay, I see what the intent is. But they're going to have to reshape it in such a way, if not bag it all together, because right now you have businesses threatening. Indiana built a rather impressive, to their credit, convention business over the last 20 years. The original intent in Indianapolis really took the lead on this. They wanted to be the amateur sports capital of the world. And one of the initial things that they did was they got the Pan Am Games. So when the Pan Am Games were a big deal, because they were trying to, again, show everybody they were going to be the amateur sports capital of the world. Well, that has since transitioned into the Big Ten basketball tournament, Big Ten football championship game, having the NCAA move its headquarters to Indianapolis and getting the Final Four every 5 years, getting the Super Bowl a big deal, to go with obviously their pro teams in the Colts and the Pacers. Now you have colleges, obviously, that are throughout the state, from Notre Dame to Purdue, Indiana, Ball State, Butler, and so forth. But Indiana found its niche sports-wise, and they've made it pay off big. Whatever the intent of this bill is, it's threatening what they've built over the last 20, 25 years. And that's a huge issue for them to deal with. Huge issue. And the timing of it for them, whomever put the bill together said, hey, let's vote on it Thursday, you know, 8-9 days before the Final Four. That wasn't smart either.
First thing that popped into my mind is, did anybody know that the Final Four was in their state?
Oh, believe me, they know. The Capitol is 2 miles from Lucas Oil Stadium. I mean, the Capitol building just down the street, literally. And believe me, they're well aware it's there because the influx of people that come in. Now, Indianapolis has the Colts, the Pacers. They've had a Super Bowl. They get the Final Four every 5 years. Big Ten football championship game. They have the Big Ten men's and women's basketball tournament next March. They have the combine in the NFL every year. The NCAA basketball selection takes place in Indianapolis every year. Committee meets at the JW Marriott. And whatever the intent of the bill, the argument has been shaped in such a way very quickly, whether the argument is accurate or inaccurate, of turning it into an all-inclusive rights issue. And as you've heard us talk about repeatedly over the day, look, people are people. I mean, you know, But when you turn it into that issue, you have now, no matter what that bill says, and no matter what the intent of the bill is, that's not how it's being perceived. So they've got a problem. And it also creates a problem for what they're doing in the future. For example, I think Pat Hayden's a part of the football committee, right? They're going to have a meeting this week in Indianapolis. He won't go. I believe he said that his son is gay. So he says not going to go. So he's going to boycott the college football playoff meeting in Indianapolis. Personal reason, but he's not going. This is a problem for them. He said, I'm the proud father of a gay son. In his honor, I will not be attending the college football playoff committee meeting in Indy this week. Critics of the bill believe it could be used by businesses and individuals to discriminate against members of the LGBT community based on those individuals' and those businesses' religious beliefs. The law prohibits state laws that substantially burden a person's ability to follow his or her religious beliefs. The definition of a person includes religious institutions, businesses, and associations. Pence said today that he has been meeting with lawmakers around the clock and wants legislation on his desk by the end of the week to clarify the new religious freedom law to make sure it does not allow discrimination. He said, that was not my intent. It may not be the intent, but there's obviously a way that people perceive it could be used. And remember, Arizona lost the Super Bowl, or had it pushed back, because they were the only state in the union at the time that didn't have Martin Luther King Jr. Day. All right, next half hour, we're going to have Charlie Wimuth, BucksDugout.com, who, to his credit, stayed out of the brawl yesterday. And since he's in one piece, we'll talk to him. Kevin, meanwhile, is going to argue with Sean Carey about the Steelers' next move during the break.
Do they have
James Harrison. James Harrison, 2-year contract. Good news, Mel Blunt, 10-day contract.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Stephen Gross of the Allentown Morning Call on tomorrow's show to talk about the Phillies.
There was some good news for Phillies fans, though, Steve. The Phillies fans will now be able to get whiskey and wine at the concession stands, because that's what you're going to need to get through a season of Phillies baseball if you're paying $50 a seat to watch it.
Why don't you just go to a bar and watch it on TV?
Well, everybody was going to Harry the K's for a sip.
Yeah. Well, yes, they're going to have that at the games this year. Expect that to be the longest line in the concession.
As I said, that may help us get through a season of Phillies baseball.
Are you even going to go this year?
It is not in my plans unless tickets somehow come my way.
Because you are the ultimate front runner.
Front runner for what? Being first in line at that stand?
No, I mean, you don't have much loyalty. You can be bought.
Hey, you know, I get to see every Pirates game on Service Electric Cablevision. So, you know, it's not hard to take a trip out the turnpike for a season to watch some baseball.
I've got tickets. If you want to go, let me know.
Beautiful stadium. Beautiful stadium.
Yeah. Well, they both are. I think Citizens Bank Park's a gorgeous place.
I have not been to PNC Park. I was at Three Rivers, but not
PNC Park is very much like Citizens Bank Park. The view, though, is unbelievable when you look out over the skyline of Pittsburgh. I like the park across the river at the parking garage. Walk across the Clemente Bridge. And
now, when we went to Three Rivers, my aunt lived in the suburbs, and we actually took the ferry in.
Oh, okay.
Which, the name I can't recall, but...
My issue has always been, I remember the last time I went to a Phillies game, walking up the ramp, and I said, hey, are we going to be any good in football this year? Oh, my God. Just trying to get to the restroom.
So you got to learn not to wear Penn State stuff everywhere, though. That would be a help.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't. The last time I was at PNC Park, I'm talking to my son. I was like, hey. I was like, okay. And so I finally said, let's go up and get a Permanente Brothers sandwich. So we got out of there, and it's also the worst sandwich I ever had. All right,
that's because it wasn't Dollar Dog Night.
It wouldn't have mattered. They now opened up one here in State College. I go, you got to go? I go, no, really not. no desire. I said, who in Pittsburgh thinks this is good? All right.
Same people. No, I was going to make an Iron City joke, but I won't.
Oh, okay. I love the ballpark. Love it. Same thing Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's a great ballpark. Almost everybody has great ballparks now, except for Oakland. I mean, that's...
How much are those seats in the corner at Oakland?
Oh, I don't know.
Corner where I don't think you can see anything.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Buccos. Let's bring in Charlie Wilmoth, who survived yesterday's brawl, which extended into the parking lot, extended into the water, all sorts of stuff. From BucksDugout.com. Hi, Charlie. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. What's the impression as to how this roster has come together? What do you think of the roster balance the Pirates have coming out of Florida?
I think it's pretty close to what we'd expect. I think that the fact that the Pirates have earned a certain amount of leeway, particularly with how they treat pitchers, really makes it hard to complain too much, even though some of the players they've selected and some of the roles they selected them for are not what I would have done. I think that on the surface, Jeff Locke ahead of Vance Worley for the Pirates' fifth starter job seems like a mistake. They're both out of options. And maybe you could make a case that Vance Worley would be more useful out of the pen than Locke would, because they already have two lefties in the bullpen. But I think that that Worley was just so markedly better than Locke last season that I'm not quite sure what they're thinking there. But as Neil Huntington has said, that both those guys are going to get starts. And then to see John Holtzcomb have to go to the minors is a bit disappointing. But again, I understand it. They have a bunch of guys who are out of options. It's about protecting guys from leaving the organization entirely. Holtzcomb is at no risk of that because he has a bunch of options left, and so they're going to send him down. But again, that's not going to prevent him from contributing later in the season.
Obviously, a guy that's intriguing to a lot of people is Gung from Korea, who has stepped in. It looks like he's a competent guy at several different spots. What does he do to the depth of this team over a 162-game schedule?
I think that when you have, I guess using the word question marks to describe some of the Pirates' infielders is not fair. But when you have somebody who's not exactly an established shortstop in Jordy Mercer, a guy who has trouble staying healthy in Neil Walker and only has 2 years remaining before free agency, and then whatever Pedro Alvarez at first base, and then you have a third, Josh Harrison, who has the ability to move around. When you have that particular setup of infielders, having another guy who might be a starting caliber big league infielder in Gong, although that's far from certain at this point, but if that's what he is, he can turn out to be helpful in any number of ways, because we don't know what the Pirates infield might look like in 2 years, and if somebody like Mercer or Alvarez doesn't perform, we don't know what the infield might look like 3 months from now. So if Gong can hit a little bit, he gives the Pirates quite a lot of flexibility.
All right, now the starting rotation. Garrett Cole, there hadn't been a lot of talk about him in the spring, which is actually a good thing. Can he be the number one that you hand the ball to in clutch situations based on how he's developed?
I think so. I think that he took some nice steps forward with his last year, had peripheral numbers that were more in line with his stuff than he had in his rookie year, and that's probably a recipe for a step forward, especially when you consider his pedigree. I think maybe the issue with him is going to be staying healthy. And so if he stays healthy, given how young he is, given how talented he is, I see no reason why he couldn't develop into an ace.
What about Pedro Alvarez? What do you think about him?
Well, he strikes out all the time. I mean, he strikes out constantly. He's a question mark defensively, and at this point is a really frustrating player. I mean, obviously, his power is just as a tool. I mean, his power is some of the best in the league, but it's only sort of usable because he's striking out all the time because he has such trouble making contact. So I think when the Pirates drafted him, I mean, they and everyone else thought that he was that the inability to hit for contact was not going to be such a problem in his career. They knew that he had some holes in his swing and that was an issue, but thought he would get past it, and he just never really has. So, you know, we'll see how he performs at first base, whether he can take to that position and deal defensively now that throwing is not such an issue as it was at third. And, you know, if he can take a step forward and have one of these huge 35 or 40 homer seasons, he's obviously pretty valuable, but I don't know how strongly I would be willing to bet on that happening at this point.
Will the first 2 months of the season give you an indication that Josh Harrison had a career year in 2014 or that he has a long-term future?
Yes, I think they'll tell us a lot. I mean, I think there's that Steelers motto. I don't remember the exact words, but it's like, we'll pay you once we see you do it twice. I think that certainly applies to Harrison. I think that it's possible that he had a career year last year and will be valuable to the organization long term. That is, I think there's a lot of distance between how well he did last year and not valuable. So I think that we're going to see him come back to earth a little bit, but we saw all the line drives he hit all over the place last year. I mean, that was legitimate. I mean, that reflected, I think, a legitimate increase in his power and his hitting ability, and I expect him to retain at least some of that. And even if he doesn't retain as much of that as we'd like, he certainly has defensive value in terms of not only his ability, but his versatility. So I think he's not going to be the same player he was last year, but I think he's going to be a valuable player all around. But yeah, I think the first 2 months will tell us something.
You can always make an argument that Andrew McCutchen is the best all-around player in the game. You can sit down anywhere and have an argument with somebody about that. Where is Starling Marte in all of this? And is he also starting to draw some of that conversation about, hey, there aren't many better all-around players than this guy?
Well, I think that the thing that he's missing is plate discipline. McCutchen, for example, walked in 13% of his plate appearances last year. Marte walked in about 6%. And you'd like to see him increase that. I'm not sure that's ever really a skill he's going to have. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's an excellent all-around player. probably a better base runner than McCutchen is, probably a better defender than McCutchen is, and his power is coming along, and certainly if what we saw from him in the second half last year is any indication, he could be primed to take another big step forward this year. So, I mean, I don't know if I would put him in the same category. I mean, I would not put him in the same category as people like Andrew McCutchen or Mike Trout or something like that.
Sure.
But he's moving in that direction, and he's emerging as a star or maybe even a superstar.
The Pirates did not get off to a good start last year, yet did enough and got to the playoffs. Still, give me the importance of the month of April to get a good start.
I think it's something that seems more important. I mean, every win is a win, right? I mean, they all count in the standings, and wins in April count as much as wins in September. But I think
yes, they do.
The month of March is probably overrated. The month of April is probably overrated in the minds of fans, especially Pirates fans who spent basically the last two decades where April was really the only relevant month of the season, the only month when the Pirates were anywhere near first place in the standings. They've really scrutinized that month. When in reality, it might be predictive of what's to come, and it might not be. It's actually a really frustrating time to write about baseball because you're dealing with all these incredibly small sample sizes that people are overanalyzing.
Right.
Sometimes April games mean a lot, sometimes they don't.
Actually, I do not come from the same point of view as you do on that, because except for the Indians, who have had great starts and then have faded, a lot of teams that do well in April usually sustain throughout. There's some momentum to it. But we have different opinions, and that's fine. You've talked a couple of times about used analytics. You talked about the percentage of the time that Marte walks versus McCutchen and so forth. What analytics, Charlie, are important to you as you start gauging and working through a season?
Well, pitchers' peripheral numbers are really important to me.
Okay.
Just because, especially looking at a pitcher's ERA over a month or even 2 months, or even just thinking back to how good that pitcher's performance has felt over a month or 2 months, it might not tell you very much, honestly, because we base that on, I think emotionally, on how many runs are coming across the plate and how many wins the team is getting, when in reality, the quality of a pitcher's performance is determined by a lot of underlying numbers, like his strikeout rate, his walk rate, his xFIP, which sort of brings all that together in a single number and makes it look like ERA, but it's a much better indicator of a pitcher's performance than ERA. Those are things I'm looking at. And then for hitters, the same thing. Line drive percentage is a good one.
Right, okay.
Because he might be stinging line drives, right at people and have numbers that don't look very good, but actually he's hitting the ball harder than he used to. And strikeout and walk rate are important too.
For you, you love baseball. I mean, you love it. How much fun has it been for you to cover something every day about something you're passionate about?
Sometimes it's really fun. Sometimes it's exhausting. The baseball season is really long. And I've covered the Pirates for years.
Yeah.
And a lot of seasons, I'm like writing about games in August where the Pirates are 20 games out of first place, and there are times when it just seems to drag on and on. But I think especially at this time of year, when there's hope for your team's season, almost regardless of who your team is, when the weather's starting to get better and it's just starting to get to the point where it seems like a reasonable proposition to go to games outside. I guess State College is not really there right now. but yeah, I mean, especially this time of year, it's a really beautiful thing, and I really welcome it.
I would have to use an orange golf ball at this moment, Charlie. Hey, thanks so much. We always enjoy the talks very much and all the great information. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
.com. Tomorrow, Stephen Gross of the Allentown Morning Call. We talk about the Phillies as they get ready for opening weekend. And Friday, Will Thiemann, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State basketball. Matt LePay, play-by-play voice of Wisconsin basketball. Why? They'll be broadcasting the Final Four Saturday. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday.
No, it's Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Remember, every day is Hyundai?
Hyundai.
And it's the Lease We Can Do sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai.
The Lease We Can Do is cut the crap and give you low payments and no money down. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata SE for only $237 a month for 36 months with zero down. Zilch. Nada. Or lease a 2015 Hyundai Elantra SE for only $183 a month for 36 months. Again, no money down. Or you could go green. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid for $250 a month for 36 months, and you guessed it, zero due at sign. No hidden fees, no plus tax, and blah, blah, blah. It's the lease we can do. These cars are here, these deals are real, and they're only at your home for Hyundai, Sunbury Motors Hyundai,
Hyundai.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, where every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Lease is based on 10,000 miles per year, zero total due at signing with approved HMFR Tier 1 financing tax included. See dealer for complete details.
Yeah, good guest list coming up as the week goes along. We'll take you to Indianapolis and the Final Four on Friday as part of the show with Matt LaPaia, Wisconsin, and Will Thiemann of Michigan State. They will be broadcasting their respective Final Four games on Saturday night. It's interesting that one of the elements that's very important is getting a guy into the NBA. If you're in, I don't care if you're coaching a college football team, an avenue to the NFL, and in basketball, an avenue to the NBA. I'll give you an example. Tim Frazier is going to finish out the season in the NBA because he was signed by the Portland Trail Blazers today, and he is going to play with them the rest of the season. Now, obviously, with Damian Lillard there and Steve Blake, whatever minutes he gets will be limited. But he's also going to be on the playoff roster, too. He's eligible for that. And it does a world of good for you in recruiting. Now, Dave Paulson, obviously, when we talked about him yesterday.
And by the way, he will be joining us this week. We're ironing out exactly right when he will be able to do that, because, of course, he's going to be announced as the head coach tomorrow morning in D.C.
Right. As soon as Dave's people can talk with Kevin's people, they'll get it worked out.
That's a lot of people.
People. You know, I'm just thrilled you have people. But Mike Muscala, for example, getting to the NBA out of Bucknell, huge. Because I realize that there is this higher calling of what higher education can do for you. And nobody's a better, bigger believer than that. I have a college degree. But at the same time, there are a number of people in this country that don't have college degrees that have been major successes. I believe Bill Gates is not a college graduate. And these guys are eligible to play, but let's face it, any high school star and every kid that signs a letter of intent to play in one of the Power Five conferences in football or basketball, in all likelihood, was the star of their team in high school. And they're looking at this with great hope that this college experience will be their next step to get to the show, the NFL, the NBA, whatever it happens to be. And I find it laughable when they talk about the Kentucky experience, that it's one and done, that it's bad for the game. Okay. You think so. First of all, college isn't for everyone. That's why I said, look, out of high school, they should be able to go right to the NBA. And I always love the feeling of, you know, we'll get them in college, we'll get them a degree. That way it will be so good for them. Well, yeah, it can be great for them, no doubt. But it's not our job to protect them They're young adults. They can make up their own mind. It's not my job to protect them. They want to go, go. We spend a lot of time worrying about what other people do or want. I remember when the Harrisburg Patriot News wanted to know what Joe Paterno's salary was. Remember that? And I was at a dinner, and they asked me, you know, how anxious I was to find out. I said, I could care less what he makes. And they all looked at me and said, why is that? I said, I care what I make.